from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The game, 12 million watch game. Two of the NBA Finals, a five-year high.
Yeah.
11.3 million was the average viewer per game.
So that tells you how dialed in America was to this. Like, I saw a tweet from a media columnist Richard Deitch, and he was like, holy crap, look at this number. Like, almost 20 million people on a Saturday afternoon in the summer sat down and watched that game. Man, how do you capitalize off of that if you're the NBA, right?
Right. I mean, I think there was just a lot to be seen in that, because I think there's two different storylines when it comes to the viewership. One is, probably not going to see this team play in 4A in 2028, at least probably most of the starters, like Steph, LeBron, probably not going to be on that team.
You don't think LeBron's still going to be around? You think you get Bronny on the American team and then he'll...
Bronny's worried about making it in the NBA. I did like LeBron.
You want me to play for Team USA? Bronny needs to be on the team.
I did like LeBron wearing the puffy gray beard to kind of give it, like, oh, I was so old when I did the last one.
That pass that he had was pretty damn sick, too, around the side of his body, right between defenders and in the paint.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was also interesting that Kevin Durant has 4 gold medals, LeBron has 3. So I did a little bit of research as we were talking, discussing, a couple of buddies of mine, like, how does LeBron not have 5 gold medals?
Yeah.
Took 2 years off.
Ah.
Took the year off after they won with the Cavs. He was like, I want to rest. He got the Cavs their first NBA title. And then the next year, he rested an ankle injury.
Right.
So LeBron James literally could have 4 NBA titles, 5 gold medals, as one of the most decorated men's basketball athletes of all time.
Tremendous. He was just tremendous. And Kevin Durant was pretty good, too.
He was. Yeah, he was great. LeBron on 2028 Olympics. I can't see myself playing in Los Angeles in 2028. But I didn't see myself playing in Paris in 2024. But four years from now, I can't
What's
see
What's he, 38 in 4 years, right? He's 34?
No, he's 39. Right now, 38, he's about to turn 40 years old.
Oh, he's that old already?
He's about to turn 40.
Oh, my God. He's not playing at 44.
Not a chance.
No, exactly. Yeah. The fact that he's playing now is incredible.
Yeah. He could be the coach.
I didn't realize he was that old. He doesn't play that old.
No, he doesn't.
God.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about LeBron.
Yeah. Steph and KD will be 38, 39 in 4 years.
And so let me ask you this, just total sidebar. Like, everybody that complains about the load management stuff in the NBA, which is a legit complaint when you're spending money to go to games, you want to see the stars play. But we've seen LeBron James play until he's almost 40 now. Maybe the load management thing is good.
Like, maybe you're right.
Tuesday in Milwaukee, I think I'm going to sit this one out. I want to play in the Olympics and win gold for America. And I got to save my body. Like,
how dare you?
God, how good was that men's basketball team? Like, seriously, like, I can't say enough superlatives how awesome those 16 days were watching the men's basketball. I loved every minute of it. And that's, again, coming from a non-basketball fan, that's why it's so important for baseball to do the right thing. And it's July 14th through the 30th in 2028. The All-Star breaks right in that period of time. Shut down down your sport for 2 weeks. Yes. Nobody's going to miss it. We're all going to be paying attention to the Olympics. You'll get lost in the Olympics during that time if you're baseball. So just shut it down and let the big leaguers play in the Olympics in 2028. If they don't, they're missing out on a big-time opportunity.
Speaking of missing out on a big-time opportunity, the women's team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two of the biggest stars in the WNBA, probably two of the most talented players in the WNBA, don't make the roster.
The two most famous women's basketball players in America today.
One was at a Yankees game.
Right. And the other, I don't know what she was doing with her
hanging
time.
Out, hanging living out, living life the best way you could possibly do it. But we can talk about that a little bit later. But I thought it was interesting when you look at the USA versus France, because I was talking about this earlier. This is the Olympic rivalry for the next three Olympics, counting this one and the next two. And I know that the French kids that were drafted, I think, what, there was three in the top seven in the NBA
three
draft
top
this
six,
year?
Yep.
Top six.
Where is Mbappe picked?
Real Madrid. And to me, this is great because what do we love most about sports? Well, we love rivalries in sports. Well, in the United States is the biggest, you know, the French announcer called him Devil Curry.
Yeah.
You know, then that audio just disappears into the oblivion on the Twitter sphere, the X sphere. But this is what it's all about. This is what makes you want to watch sports, right? There is no rival to the Chiefs.
No.
Now, maybe other people say, oh, we hate the Chiefs. That's your, their
That's
rival.
Your,
there's
yeah.
no real rival for the Chiefs. So there's real no, like, Broncos-Chiefs rivalry, Raiders-Chiefs, whatever.
Royals haven't had a rivalry since the 70s.
Fair point. Although I did have some St. Louis Cardinal fans text me on Friday night, like, ah, Royals look like they're a really good team. And then, like, the next night, I was like, so where are you at?
How's your house over there in St. Louis? Is it stuffed with Provel cheese and fried ravioli because you guys aren't so good?
Kind of like both of those things.
You may not be here long if you continue that.
Well, I guess I can't like things that Bob doesn't like, and otherwise I get kicked out of here.
That's right.
Noted.
Okay, well, I guess if I had to get fired because I don't because I like Provel cheese and fried ravioli, I guess I can run away with that. So how come it didn't work at Fesco? Well, apparently I like fried ravioli and Provel cheese.
Yeah,
I had to get lost.
You're gone.
But no,
too sympathetic to St. Louis.
Yeah, we see the emotions from Wimby, right? Cries after the loss. Yeah. Love that.
Oh my
sort of
God,
passion.
how passionate was that?
Amazing.
Too
Love that.
Right?
Still incredible. A kid. That shows you that.
Yeah.
That
shows it matters.
Right. That's like, well, in 4 years from now, I won't let that happen again. Well, good luck. You'll be in LA.
Like, he thought he was going to win that game.
Of course.
That's what that told me.
But of course. And that's the mindset that you want. Like, I mean, welcome to the NBA now,
exactly.
too. Spurs fans got to be excited watching Wemby have that kind of emotion after that type of game.
To have that at 20 is incredible.
Yeah.
20
years
old.
It was tremendous.
In your home country.
Yeah.
And then you had the Dream Team. The redeemed team, and then LeBron called it.
There's the dream team, redeemed team. What's this team?
The Avengers.
Okay.
There you go. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had different superheroes unite to take down the big bad wolf of French team, which they're not as talented as you, but it was the home team, the home crowd, everybody was against you.
Yeah.
And then it's great to see you become the villain because as soon as Steph Curry hits that impossible double guarded 3-pointer, it's the night pose
was so good too.
It's that famous like iconic shot that will live on forever.
Yeah,
where
it's now one of the more iconic photos in sports, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. In 2 days, it's become one of the most iconic photos
because behind him is the popular kids in high school was like. Draymond Green, Carmelo Anthony, Scottie Pippen, all those guys that were standing, and then for some reason Jimmy Fallon got invited to the party.
Right, yeah.
I think he just showed up, and they're like, yeah, everybody's already drunk enough. You can kick it. If you want
I like Jimmy Fallon taking the selfie with the French president. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, was that the French president taking the selfie with Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah,
sure.
That's a good question.
You know?
But, you know, you look at this team. Like, do you think, you said Steph Curry will be 38, 39 next time they play her? Is he on this team? Is he just have a small role? I don't think he's on the team.
No, Steph's not on the team.
I don't think Steph's in the NBA much longer. He's accomplished too much. He already knows he's the greatest
shooter
of all
time. What
else
does he have to prove? Like, that was the icing on the cake for Steph Curry, was it not? Like, that was the final, the piece de resistance, to steal a French term, right?
Yeah.
Like, getting that goal. Also, another total just random. How did they get pieces of the Eiffel Tower into the metal? Like, aren't we a little concerned that maybe the tower isn't as steady as it used to be? If we're
maybe
taking
they just
pieces,
shaved it a little bit.
I mean, I thought that was weird. Like, they could have showed us how they did that, so we know the tower's safe.
Yes. Tom Cruise got to be careful.
Oh my gosh, yeah,
that was cringy.
Yeah,
did you watch him?
I did.
That?
It was great jumping off the stadium. Oh my God,
he's so extra. It's ridiculous.
He just like the way he looked at the camera and then fell off the top and then did the bungee cord and then came in like he was like Jesus Christ superstar to play. I'm like, what are we doing?
What if that rope broke?
He looked like Sandy Lyles from Along Came Polly. That's what he reminded me of. R.I.P. to Philip Seymour Hoffman. Also, Noah Lyles. Why does there always have to be a Richard in the moment of success?
Right, exactly.
You want to do what? You would invite me to an event, a man who has not even been in the NBA Finals in a sport that you don't even care about, and you're giving him a shoe? What are we doing here? Like, why does this guy have to be this guy?
17 days ago, nobody knew who Noah Lyles was.
And now we know embrace, him for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, embrace the Olympic opportunity. Embrace the moment. Don't turn yourself into a heel by saying something like that.
Yeah, like you just want to take shots at the United States basketball team. But again, I thought that was a great performance. I think we were all geared up for Saturday. And I think the best part about it was you got to see the team actually like play its like ass off for two consecutive games.
It's everything that you wanted. Like for people who complain that NBA players take time off, they don't play defense, whatever, like fallacies that you want to spread about the NBA. And look, I'll be a big defender of the NBA, even though I'm not a huge fan. For 2 years watching the Spurs and everybody roll through San Antonio and sitting courtside where they did back in those days with the media, they people that talk about this team and this league not playing defense is it couldn't be more false. I mean, these guys are playing their ass off on both ends of the floor. I thought we saw that in this game. They gave their all. Like it was, if you are a sports fan, there's no reason you can't walk away from that men's basketball game on Saturday going, this is one of the best sporting events I've ever seen. It had everything, man. It was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Did you consider Brett for Miller?
Did Will Chamberlain or Danny Manning, have they reached out to Wiggins?
You think I'm a damn fool?
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
From the 636. When they replace pieces during renovation, they use the scraps in the metals.
Thank you.
Okay. I just want to let you know. They took metal from the tip, is what they've said. So if you want to know where it came from. Also, is Noah Eagle, and this is a serious question, is he Ian's brother?
It's his son.
Son.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
So we finally have a one that actually works out.
And Joe Buck worked out.
Joe Buck worked out pretty good.
I'm saying like where we had the last name because we always say like, you know, Dan Carr is David's brother.
Yeah.
We actually finally got one that works.
Yeah.
I've ruined myself. We get back into the Royals. We get back to the discussion that is the three big game series against the Twins before we get into Josh Vernier, who will join us at 8:30, our Royals insider here at 610 Sports Radio. It's Mac Morey. It's Bob Fescombe. Dusty Likens. Royals conversation continues on the other side. Back here on Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiveMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Royals continue their action towards the playoff run. Bobby Witt Jr. continues his action towards the MVP race. And I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, but it seems like over the weekend and at least into this morning on a Monday morning, everybody in baseball is a writer or somebody who follows a game a la Buster Olney, Jeff Passan, Bob Nightingale, the list goes on and on. The conversation right now in baseball is that it is a two-man race for the MVP of the AL.
No question.
I mean, Buster Olney just tweets out AL MVP frontrunners, gives a ton of stats for Judge, gives a ton of stats for Bobby Witt Jr., and honestly,
who's number three? There isn't one.
There isn't one.
Right.
There is no other. Maybe Soto. I bet that's third one.
Probably.
He had a big game yesterday, hit two bombs.
Yeah.
That game was on MLB Network. That's the only reason I watched it, and it made me just hate the Yankees even more. We can get to a topic later on today about why I want to see the Royals and Yankees play each other in the playoffs. But not only are you anticipating a Royals game tonight, you're doing a lot of scoreboard watching throughout the weekend.
Yeah. Like,
I was looking everywhere, Apple TV, I promise you that, MLB Network to see if the Twins and Guardians game was going to be on. That to me seemed like the biggest game with the most impact yesterday. It wasn't on television. Thank you, MLB. But it's more than just watching the Royals and seeing what they're doing when it comes to the playoffs.
You know, I've talked to some people about, you know, certain games that they're showing it on the national networks, and I was, you know, privy enough to see some of the rating numbers. Like, if it's not the Yankees in Boston on those big networks, Dusty, like, literally nobody watches them. So they're like, yeah, we got to put them on,
right,
even though the games aren't as important as you would think a Cleveland-Minnesota game would be, you know, over the weekend. And I find myself scoreboard watching and watching all this stuff. I'm like, all right, something's got to give here. I can't live the rest of baseball season like it's a football season, yeah. right? Like we're every game living and dying on every pitch. The goal, right. the goal going forward is to just win every series. If you win every series that you're in from here on out, you'll by far make it into the postseason. That's what it's all about. It's not about, to me anyway, watching what other teams are doing, like watching what the Mariners beating up on the Mets last night, 12-1 are doing, or what the Red Sox are doing right now. The Royals have to take care of business themselves. And if they take care of their own business, then everything will fall into place. It's pretty simple. Go out there. You're in control. Mm-hmm. You're in control of your own destiny. Don't let somebody else get in control of your destiny. Go out there and continue to win series. And if you do that, everything's going to be fine. But I think I'm like everybody this morning. We're waking up. We're going, are we going to be able to rely on that bullpen, right? Like, yep. are we going to be able to count on that bullpen? Other than Urseg, I don't know that there's a reliable arm out there that I trust every single time to take the ball in the seventh, eighth, or ninth innings. And that is cause for concern as we start to head down the stretch.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at, if we scoreboard watch right now, the Cubs play the Guardians this week, at least today. The Cubs seem to be the AL Central thorn.
They just
took care of the Twins. They took care of the Royals.
Right.
Now they get the Guardians up, and Minnesota, I believe, has an off day today.
No, Minnesota plays us today.
Oh, that's, what am I thinking? Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Royals, Minnesota, they play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The best part about this series is, once again, we are loaded with the three starters going into a gigantic series. You get Brady Singer tonight. You get Seth Lugo Tuesday, Cole Reagans on Wednesday. Minnesota has yet to announce their starter for Tuesday and Wednesday. But you look at where this is where the series kind of elevate themselves, because now you get full game swings, not just a half game. You're not depending on anybody else.
It's
and like
big.
You said,
yeah.
this is where you take care of business. This is where you give the rock to Brady and you say, hey, go shove, go be that guy that you've been all year, a top candidate to win a Cy Young Award as well, with where you're going to finish in the regular season with ERA, strikeouts, and all sort of things that go with the pitching stats. But the thing is that it's as simplistic as you have to win two out of three.
Yeah.
That's where this series
is. And you really send a message. Go sweep the Minnesota Twins, because I still think right now, like, the Guardians and the Twins are probably looking at the Royals. Oh, they're just a third-place team. They're young. They're nice. Whatever the case may be. Go out there and eliminate the Twins. Like, go out there and not eliminate, but you know what I mean. Send a message this week and don't say, you know, two out of three. Go for the series sweep. Go sweep these SOBs, right? And pass them in the standings and get even more breathing room when it comes to the playoffs. And go out there and beat a good team, because I still think there's a lot of fans that are kind of on the fence wondering if the Royals can do it against a good team. And over the weekend, you know, you needed to take two of those games from St. Louis. You know, losing that first game stinks. I'm not a big fan of going 1-1 in that series against the St. Louis Cardinals. You go out and take two out of three from Minnesota, I'm happy with that. You sweep Minnesota, I'm really happy with that. If you go out and you take two out of three from Minnesota and everybody in the bullpen shows they're reliable, that's even better. Like, there's a lot to gain from this series, both in a standing standpoint and getting some confidence back in that bullpen for the fans, for everybody else. Because you got to think the players are feeling the same way, too, at this point.
No doubt about it, because the season is wrapping up. And like we've talked about in previous shows before, you have Minnesota, then it gets a little bit different. I think you get the Philadelphia Phillies. That's tough. That's a big series. Yeah. And you have a couple of series where it's like the Reds and the Angels.
The Reds
and then,
this weekend, yeah.
And then you build that up, and it's like, if you can take care of business in these three games and you can jump, you know, you can take two out of three, you've solidified yourself as a second team in the wild card. Because what you're starting to see, Bob, is you're starting to see more and more teams fade out and more and less to worry about. The division winners, you can still win your division. The other teams are Seattle, who's now 2.5, Boston, 3 games behind. They got waxed yesterday.
But, you know, Houston's the scary team to watch right now, too, because they're battling with Seattle for the AL West lead, and I think they've won 5 in a row, and they're playing some really good. Like, I left Houston for dead back in April, and I think most people left Houston for dead, and most people around baseball are like, see, this is it. The Astros are going to start falling apart because it's just time, right? Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden they're winning games and they're playing great baseball right now. So that's another team that I didn't think we were going to have to worry about most of the season. But now all of a sudden it's a thorn in the side of everybody.
And that's the thing that's beautiful about this, is that in a series that is now the next biggest series of the season, you're again throwing out your big three arms and you're taking your sticks into Minnesota, where Salvi's great in Target Field. Bobby Witt Jr. is leading the league in hitting in every single sort of category except for RBI and home runs.
Yeah.
And now you can take that momentum of getting a day off, getting that wax job that you put on the Cardinals winning 8-3 on that Saturday evening game. And now you go into this series with 1-2-3 against Minnesota, and then you can separate yourself from Seattle, who's 2.5 behind you, Boston, who's 3 behind you, and then the next team is 5 games behind that. So you're seeing yourself do the right thing, separating below you, which is great, but now you need to separate above you, and you have a big opportunity to do that this week against Minnesota.
I mean, you could end the series in Minnesota either being in second place and battling for first, or you could end the series in Minnesota going, I wish these three games never happened, right? Like, it's the best of both worlds, right? Whether you're a masochist or whether you're a glass half full guy, it's the best of kind of both of those worlds this weekend. You have an opportunity to be in great position on Thursday morning, or you have an opportunity to be in a sad position on Thursday morning.
Not only that, you could also take what we told you not to do, or some of us told you not to do, which is worry about others around you. If the Cubs take 2 out of 3 from the Guardians, who are playing not the best baseball right now, and you take 2 out of 3 from Minnesota, it's a double blade. You've done your job against Minnesota. Cleveland did their job. Now, all of a sudden, you're 2.5 games out, and you still got a big series coming up in the next few weeks against Cleveland.
Yeah, you do. I mean, then that's going to be huge. All those games against the Guardians down the stretch are going to be large, large, large baseball games. And you know, we're just kind of getting into the feel of it. You know, you got the taste of preseason football over the weekend, but I think more people were kind of concerned about what was going on the baseball side, whether or not this team was going to find ways to beat the St. Louis Cardinals over the weekend.
When you watch basketball and you watch baseball and you watch football on the same weekend, you kind of start thinking about different rule changes. Bob's got a rule that he'd like to see get implicated into another sport from another sport. This is Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio. Back here on Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio on a Monday morning. A little gloomy, a little wet. Did you guys hear the storms last night, or were you long gone?
I don't hear the storms anymore, man. Like, I'm a sound sleeper, I guess. The only storm I hear is my wife snoring.
Oh, she doesn't snore.
Jeez. Shots fired. I had two dogs shivering next to me, so yes.
Oh, yeah, the dogs don't like it.
I was asleep, and then, like I have light-canceling curtains, but I don't have noise-canceling curtains. As soon as I heard that first rumble, I was like, oh, okay. I was out of water, got up. The whole house looks like a strobe light, and then I was, like, immediately right back out.
Right back to sleep. Yeah, you can always tell when the storm's coming because the dog hides.
Yeah.
She didn't like the rain. I mean, it literally started. My wife goes, it's starting to rain. The dog got up and walked inside.
Yep.
I'm out. I am having nothing
like
to do with this.
Wet. The hell with this weather. Good thing that little pup doesn't live in Seattle.
I know. She would not like life at all. You're playing a little Nirvana this morning, but I'm looking at the Red Hot Chili Peppers from yesterday on the closing ceremonies.
Flea?
I mean, Flea was kicking it yesterday, but how,
he wearing the sock?
I don't think. Okay. I'm trying to look. The LA closing ceremony, opening ceremony for LA, I guess that kind of was yesterday, like playing 90s music and all that kind of stuff. Like, they're hitting right in the wheelhouse. I think the LA Olympics are going to be so off the chain awesome. Woo! I can't wait. You're rolling out Flea, you're rolling out Snoop Dogg, you're rolling out Dre, Billie Eilish mixed in, not a huge fan. But man, when you hit in that wheelhouse of that 90s music, like, you got all of us old dudes going, sweet, when are the LA Olympics starting? I can't wait.
Somebody said Fox over the weekend had Cubs White Sox on Saturday.
It's
WTF.
A big game in Chicago. Yeah. People are watching that one. Yeah.
Somebody says, please give us a big brief summary on the new kicking rules and what happened with Hardman this weekend. I'll give you a quick summary. I have no effing clue.
Yeah, we actually talked about it at about 6:30 or so. Yeah, grab the podcast on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, we'll bring it back up here in a little bit, but you brought up a good point, because we go through the afternoon texting, trying to spitball ideas. And you brought up something where you said, if you could take one rule from any sport and apply it to a different sport, what would you do, Mr. Bob Fesco? What is your rule?
Well, I was watching, obviously, the U.S. men's Olympic basketball team, United States of Freedom, gold medal. What if in basketball we added offsides in? Just like in soccer, where you can't be ahead of the ball until it's passed in down there, and then you have the opportunity to lay it in. Your thoughts on adding offsides to basketball? I think it'd be kind of cool.
I think it'd be fun.
Right? It'd be fun. You couldn't hang out at the other end of the court. Not that anybody really does that, you know, but it would force you to get back. It would force you to, you know, a little bit more strategy. Probably would end up cutting down on scoring, and American moms in Johnson County would hate it because they wouldn't understand it, and it would be wonderful from that standpoint. But I was just thinking about that watching the game, like just watching the flow of the players, like, I've watched soccer for so long now with my daughter. You just kind of watch that flow in that line of players, and you're like, are they going to be offsides here? We got offsides in basketball. You know what? We need offsides in basketball. I think that'd be kind of fun.
Because you have the rule in soccer is you have to have a defender at least past you.
Right.
And
between you and the goal.
And the goal. Yeah. There has to be at least a defender. You right. can't pass it before.
Obviously. That's simplified terms.
Yeah, and it's very tough to teach young kids offsides in soccer.
It's harder to teach the parents.
Yeah, and they do that because of the rule of cherry picking, which is exactly what we see in the NBA. When I remember playing Little League basketball, there'd always be that kid who just like stand at half court, and then as soon as there's a rebound, run down, you're just throwing the ball, automatic 2 points, and they can make the layup. So I get that. I think that's interesting because that would keep people from – I remember there was – I think it was – was it LaMelo Ball? It was one of the Ball kids.
LaMelo Ball, yeah.
Is LaMelo Ball school. Still playing?
He is. Yeah. I think he had, 75 points in a game, but, they showed his highlights, and he was just standing at half court, going back down the court. They're just throwing a ball. He was just cherry-picking the
whole game. Yeah, you can't do that.
Had, 35 points. The rule I want to see, which is a little bit fantasy-implicated, so just hear me out here, is in football, have, a three-pointer like you have in basketball. If you complete a touchdown pass of 50 yards, you automatically get 8 points. It's not a huge jump, right? NBA, you got to shoot further to get one more point than two. And there's times, and there's certain fantasy football leagues where if a quarterback does complete a 40-yard touchdown pass, he is rewarded more points than just the average four, which is more standard league scoring. A touchdown pass is normally 4 points. In the NBA or in the NFL, if you complete a 50-yard touchdown pass, you get 8 points. 50 yards or more, it's automatically 8 instead of 6.
I don't mind
that. 2 more points, you still get a chance to kick a field goal or an extra point after the play. That's a 9-point play. If you don't like it, stop it. What does Patrick Mahomes do? He's a Steph Curry of the NFL. What is everybody going to try to do? Find a Steph Curry and shoot threes. What's he going to do in the NFL? Try to get more offense. Try to get more points on the board. What do we all love in the NFL? Points. What do we hate in the NFL? A final score that's 12-10.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Would you be in favor, and again, I told you I was watching some Canadian football last night on the CBS Sports Network where they get all the big games, and they have the rouge in Canadian football. And as we were talking about the kickoff rules and how we're looking at these kickoff rules and people are questioning what's going on, do we like the kickoff rule yet and whatnot, why didn't the NFL just, instead of stealing from the UFL, they should have stole from Canada and added in the rouge, and you get rewarded for a point if the opposing team kneels down in the end zone with the ball. And so you force returns to happen because people don't want to give up that point, right?
I don't hate that.
What about adding that in instead of this kickoff rule that we're watching right now? Because I know there's a lot of confusion through week one of the preseason. There's going to be. A lot of people aren't watching preseason football, so we will be having these same conversations after the Baltimore game and after the first real weekend of the NFL season about these kickoff rules. But instead of making it so complicated, they should have really just added in the Canadian rouge and said, from now on, if you kick it into the end zone and the other team takes a knee, you get 1 point, because teams aren't going to give up points in the NFL because they're few and far between. You know, when it comes to the final score, everybody's pretty close in this league. The last thing you want to do is take a knee in the end zone and give up a point to the other team. You're going to run that kickoff back out of the end zone. That's going to add excitement to the game. That's what the NFL should have done.
I had no idea that was a good rule. I mean, because right now all it is what, 5 yards? You get an extra 5 yards if you kick it out of the, that's it?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, NFL team, okay, cool. Start at the 30 instead of the 25. I don't care.
Because I saw this, the score yesterday was 10-1 at the end of the first quarter. I'm like, what? How did they get 1 point? So I down a rabbit hole and I find out they get a point for that. I'm like, all right, I kind of like that idea. That may have been the better option for the NFL to go with than whatever it is that they're going with right now.
Yeah, for me, rule changes. I would, in overtime of a hockey game, get the ice start to melt, get a shark under there. That's really where I'm at.
I like that. I'm good. Yeah. I want a horse in the outfield of baseball game.
Come on.
So I'm fine with that.
Right.
Sharks under the ice.
I like
Let's
it.
Go,
no,
man.
It's good.
Come on.
Yeah. Get, play that game faster. Don't let the ice melt. Yeah.
Sharks with freaking laser beams attached to their heads.
Could you imagine? I'm surprised the NHL really hasn't done that. Yeah. Put an aquarium under the ice.
He's sick.
And the NFL has just lost every PETA fan in the entire world.
Yeah.
That poor shark.
Yeah.
Text line brings in some ideas as well in the 816. Penalty box / power play for the NFL. Personal foul, go to the penalty box, play a man down.
I don't hate that idea either.
That ain't bad at all.
Don't be a dumbass. Yeah. And if you are, you sit on the sides. How long are you in the box for?
what's the NHL's 3 minutes?
Well, it's 2 minutes, but that's a running clock, right? Yeah. Like 2 minutes in an NFL game is like an eternity.
Like so four plays, maybe?
Do you do one down? Like if the other team gets a first down, you're back in?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like a series kind of? Yeah, I like that.
You go three and out, you're in the penalty. I don't know.
From the 816, 60-yard field goals or more, you get 4 points instead of three.
I don't hate that one. I would probably do 55 and above, though, because you don't really see a 60-yarder in the NFL all that much, and you want to incorporate more scoring. So maybe 55 and above, would you compromise on that one?
I think I'd compromise because it is weird. You're right. You don't see a lot of 60s, but you do see a good amount of 57, 58.
Yeah, that's interesting. You see a lot of those. A lot of 58s. But not a lot of 60s. So I would go 55 plus, and I'd give you 4 points for that.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate that at all.
It's good for the Chiefs.
Absolutely.
In baseball, you strike out 3 times in a game. You have to miss your next at bat.
Yeah, it's an automatic out because you suck. Yeah, that's kind of fun, too.
Aaron Judge would not be the MVP. Guy strikes out a lot. No, I don't know. If you could change, we can open that to the text line. If you could implicate one rule from another sport into another one in professional sports in the United States, what would it be?
Mm-hmm.
From the 913, two series, you could run in at any time or arena league style. If that was the case, I'd just start Xavier Worthy 10 yards back of the line and be like, as soon as I make the first sound, you start running. Then Mahomes is so aware of the line, he can just snap it, and then he's already gone.
I do like the Arena League style, the Canadian style as well, getting that offensive player moving before the snap. I think it's fun.
Everybody would draft a 4-2 guy in the first round of every year.
Every year, put speed back into the game, man. Yeah.
Vesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ Technologies, number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. You think Cody's songs are bad? We've got one that might be able to top it. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco in the Morning on 610 Sports Radio.
Brought to you by Gann Asphalt and Concrete, online at GannAsphalt.com. 435 westbound, still slow rolling from Holmes all the way across the state line towards Roe with an earlier accident at Antioch that has cleared as we check that out on the Cordell and Cordell traffic camera. Looking to transform your business's property, noticing crumbling curbs, uneven sidewalks, parking lot potholes, or faded striping? Gann Asphalt and Concrete makes your project a streamlined process with one contractor, all things parking lot. Gann Asphalt and Concrete, online at GannAsphalt.com. Alan Carr, 610 Sports Radio. Get off my bumper traffic.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Broncos. Let's show them who the real horse is. This is our team. Go Colts!
What the hell was that?
That was Cody Tapp is a Colts fan.
Wow, that was awful.
That was audio of a Colts fan singing his new Colts team song. Theme song.
He wrote that for a preseason game, too.
Yeah. And he did a nay at the end of the song.
Can you play that again? I mean, that's really good. I mean, let's hear that again, please.
You think it's really good?
Yeah, like it's good.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Broncos. Let's show them who the real horse is. This is our team. Go Colts!
Was this played in the stadium before the game? Like, where was this song played? Because that was
in his mother's basement.
That's that's incredible. And if you're writing a song about a preseason game, you probably you're a loser. I'm just gonna put it to you that way. Okay, like you are. Like this guy was probably waiting for this game because of the Manning connection, I guess, or whatever the case. I'm looking at this guy right now. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. He made it before the preseason game.
I mean,
you're making a song for a preseason NFL game, pal.
So now I need to know, boy, is he going to do a song every week like that?
God, I hope so.
I really do.
I mean, we're going to have to start monitoring this guy.
Yeah, I'll just follow him on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That was really bad and sad in so many different levels. It's preseason football, bro.
Somebody says on the text line, the best line is, let's show them who the real horse is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Show them who the real horse is.
Do it for the shoe.
Play it again.
Okay. Play.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Broncos. Let's show them who the real horse is. This is our team. Go Colts!
That guy was living and dying on every play in a preseason game, wasn't he?
Yeah. That guy, somebody thought that was Howard Dean.
Yeah. That guy did not allow his mom into his room while he was watching that preseason game, did he?
Mac and cheese and nuggets are ready.
I mean, look at the setup that this guy has, too. Mm-hmm. You know, in his room, he's got one of those lights like he's going to be on television, and he's got like a green screen thing going on. And
would you rather see NFL kickoff rule continue or that guy continue to sing a song?
The NFL kickoff rule continue, actually. This guy's disturbed.
So is that rule.
This guy is singing about a preseason game, bro.
Oh, my God.
This isn't the Super Bowl. This isn't like a regular season, you know, great song or something of that nature. This is a really bad, really bad version of something. I don't know what that was. Do It for the Shoe is like really bad, man.
I mean, if Nike's smart, they go get that and trademark it.
I mean, you know, you tell them who the real coach is.
Real horses.
Real horses, I mean, yeah.
The real horses.
That's nothing as good as this.
Texans love the game of football. Down here, the game is big, and it's raw. So grab a chair and sit a while, and enjoy the game. Texas style. We are the Texans, the Houston Texans. Big Texas skies, big Texas pride. Go Texans, go, and we'll fight. Fight like Texans. Hail to the Toro, the red, white, and blue. Everybody, we are the Texans, the Houston Texans. Big Texas skies, big Texas pride. Go Texans, go, and we'll fight. Fight like Texans. Hail to the Toro, the red, white, and blue.
There you go. That's a song.
Nice.
That is a song.
Mm. Somebody says $1,000. Says Jim Irsay wrote that when he was high and then paid this poor guy. Winner in the clubhouse right now.
Oh, man. God.
That is terrible. Speaking of terrible, what's our level of concern, boys? And text line 913-586-7610, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Level of concern, 1 out of 10 with the Hollywood Brown injury over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a 7.
You're that high, huh?
Yeah, because I'm just worried the guy's injury prone. That's okay. One of those injuries where it's in a very brutal spot for any sort of athlete. You think about how you use your arms as a receiver, how you use your arms to get open, the contact constantly just pushing and shoving, and it's that... I don't want to try to butcher the name, but it's basically the collarbone injury, which is, they said it might not be broke. It might just be whatever. I don't know. 4 weeks looks like the common theme of the injury length of time. But there's a couple of reasons why it's a 7. I have been around Bob a lot lately, and there are times where I think like the script could actually be true at times. And my biggest fear, and the reason that's a 7, is because I think that we have to be real. There is some sort of looming suspension that a lot of us think could happen with Rashee Rice. You just lost Hollywood Brown. The first two games of the season, possibly. Ravens, Cincinnati. This, to me, is now where the NFL comes out, and they're like, Jordan Addison suspended 4 games. Rashee Rice is suspended 5 games. And then you appeal. 4-game suspension. Now you're without Hollywood Brown and possibly without Rashee Rice if they do suspend him. Again, I don't know any information about that. I'm just playing the devil's advocate role here of like the what could possibly be the level of concern. You're without Hollywood Brown, you're without Rashee Rice for the first two games of the season where you're playing Baltimore and Cincinnati, level of concern right now is a 7.
Well, I'm not that concerned because I don't believe Rashee Rice is going to get suspended. I know people want to just like all of a sudden throw that out there. The court date's not till December. And secondly, what are we suspending him for? I mean, speeding and leaving the scene of an accident, is that a warranted NFL suspension? I don't know. I'm talking out loud. I don't know what the league, you know, is going to do about that. And everybody that I've talked to, you know, that knows and has an idea of what's going on, like, we haven't even heard from the league on this one. Like, so people, I think, are moving on from that and just going to wait to see, you know, how this court thing plays out and what happens on December 9th. I mean, what if he goes into court and he's cleared on everything? Then there's no reason to suspend him in the NFL. Ugh. So I don't think that is going to be a factor this year. I'm the only reason that I have a little bit of concern in all this is because Hollywood Brown is injury prone, right? Ugh. And here we are first play, he goes down with that broken collarbone. And so I think they can be fine offensively without him. We saw last year without wide receivers that the Chiefs were able to go out there and win football games. I think their crop of wide receivers is a lot better right now, even taking Hollywood Brown out of the equation, than it was a year ago. I still think Xavier Worthy is going to be good. Rashee Rice is a year older. I think Mecole Hardman's going to be good. I think it's an opportunity as well for obviously Justin Watson's going to make this team, but an opportunity for a guy
Watson
like,
yes!
Sky Moore or you know, or Remigio or somebody of that nature to kind of up their game, because here's an opportunity. Like they may have been looking at this as like a crowded room for a while, you know, and now all of a sudden somebody's out of that room. So there's an opportunity out there, and I'm excited for those guys who have that opportunity now to make this club, to see what they're going to do with that opportunity, both in practice, but more importantly, what they do on game day. All of a sudden, you know, maybe Sky Moore makes this team where maybe he wasn't going to make this team. And then when Hollywood Brown comes back and Sky Moore's playing well, you're not going to get rid of Sky Moore. You're going to find somebody else to part with on that roster. And maybe you keep an extra wide receiver. So I think it's an opportunistic time for a lot of those guys. And we've seen Patrick Mahomes win by trading Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill had the same injury. They still won. And they won last year with no wide receivers. I'm confident that the offense is going to be just fine. Probably not as good as we would have liked it in the first couple of games, but there's a lot of positives to look at and things to take away. We're like, I'm not, you know, ending the season because Hollywood Brown got hurt.
Would Justin Ross be a name maybe you think could step up?
Maybe.
Had a nice catch Saturday.
Here we go again.
I'm just saying.
It's open for everybody, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I'm 3 or 4 level of concern. 3 or 4.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, definitely a little concerned, like
little
you,
bit,
Bob.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, not overly concerned. And I still think like 3 and 4 may be too high of a level of concern.
Yeah.
But 1 or 2, I'm kind of like, maybe a little bit too low. So 2.83 probably.
My thing is just like, he was the most polished 2.83. That's it. He was the most polished receiver, best route runner.
Yeah,
right? So that's just like,
yeah,
it's frustrating.
You don't like to see it, but if anybody can recover from this, it's Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Right. And we say injury prone for Hollywood Brown. He's played 16 games or started 16 games once in his entire 5-year career. He started 14 twice, and then it's 10 and 11 due to obviously other things as well, rookie year or injuries. But again, I'm concerned because this is one of those injuries that you have to wait until it's fully healed. And I know they're going to do their due diligence and work with him, but it's just like one of those things where like he can come back and then go for a catch, get hit. And then it's like, oh, there's that shoulder again. Then it's like, he's out for the entire year. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's great to have different discussions and concerns and levels of concerns, but it gives me concern because I'm wondering if there will be the time that comes with the Rashee Rice suspension plus the injury to Hollywood Brown. Then all of a sudden it's like, all right, so your top three rookies are, or your top three receivers, one's a rookie. Now, again, I'm with the text line a little bit into this as well. It's like maybe this gives Xavier Worthy a little bit more push. Maybe this is where they go back to camp and it's like, all right, we're without Brown. We got Xavier Worthy. We have Rashee Rice. Let's just play with what we know that we have going forward. And then now maybe you see the advantage to Xavier Worthy. Be like, okay, this is my time to shine. I've got to step up and show that I can get trust with a quarterback, because we saw it was like week 8 or 9 last year when Mahomes really started to be able to trust Rashee Rice. And then the rest was history. They started connecting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get Xavier Worthy, a different receiver than Rashee Rice, right? A little bit smaller, a little faster, a lot faster.
A lot faster, yeah.
You might have something there. So 7 still standing on that hill, but I think that could go down a little bit more when we see like what we can see develop in camp or what we can see in the next preseason game, which will be here in Kansas City, I believe, at 3:00.
Well, I also think, too, though, this is the beauty of having Andy Reid as your head coach. True. Because when was the last time you saw Andy Reid stress over an injury situation? My God, they lost Patrick Mahomes in the middle of his season, right? And they went 2-1. And they were just fine, right? Like, they lost Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game. Gentleman comes in, goes on a 99-yard drive, and leads the team to a touchdown, right? Like this is a team that, because of who their head coach is, understands, look, injuries are going to happen. And the worst thing you can do is sit around and dwell about something like an injury, right? Because if you sit around and dwell about it, you're not getting better. You're not figuring out ways to get around it. So they just don't let it become noise. Andy has done an unbelievable job throughout the course of his career of not letting those distractions take over. And we've seen it right here in Kansas City, Dusty. Like, every year, seemingly, there's an injury. It happens in the NFL. Guys get hurt all the time. And if you sit there and you let it bother you and you can't get past it, well, then you're not going to win football games. They've just got a dynamic way of getting past these things.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.